Number two, very familiar, I'm sure, especially, I don't know if these preachers study Elisha and Elijah the way I do. I've read this portion of Scripture, I believe I can safely say 500 or 600 times. I read it quite often. I like to study things about old paths and old ways and how that I can learn from older men. I've not been saved that long. I've only been saved about 13 years. I've been preaching almost 11. But still, I'm just a pup. I consider myself a pup. I like to get under men that have preached and lived for Jesus. And I appreciate those men. And I like to be around them and learn from them. So that's why I study Elijah and Elisha so much, because Elijah, of course, the predecessor, he came on the scene just, nobody really knows where he came from. He was a Tishbite. God put him on the scene. That's all we know. And I don't know where Wynn Greer come from, but I know God put him in my life. And then these other men, David and Brother Eric, and they put him in my life to teach me things. Brother David's taught me things tonight. In testimony, he's taught me something. And I appreciate that. And God knows, and David knows what I'm talking about. In 2 Kings chapter number 2, we find, 1 Kings chapter 19, you find where Elijah has been sent to get Elisha. And he comes down and he finds Elisha plowing in the fields with 12 yoke of oxen, the Bible tells us. And I thought, why did God choose Elisha? And there are four things I'll share with you real quick as a way of introduction why I believe God chose Elisha. First of all, he had a strong work ethic. They found him in a field plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. And the Bible says he was in the 12th yoke with the oxen. Now, I don't know a whole lot about plowing at all. And if I plowed anything, it was on a tractor. I didn't use oxen. And I hadn't done much of that. But I do know this. I know it's a very laborsome thing, if that's even a word. It takes a lot of work to plow with a mule, much less oxen. I watched my great uncle plow with an old quarter horse, about wear that thing to death. But he'd fight with it, and he'd be sweating almost more much as that horse was. Now my point is, here we find Elisha out there, and I don't believe God will use anybody that doesn't want to work for him. Amen. Now God uses everybody. He will. He wants to use you, but to be really used of God, he wants somebody that's not afraid to get out in the field and plow just a little bit. Just get working. And anymore in these days with the world the way it is, it takes work just to stand for Jesus. I mean, it's not easy. Now, we should do it regardless, but a lot of people use that as an excuse not to serve God because of ridicule or because of political statements that are made against us. Listen, the political world can have their politics and go to hell with it. I don't want nobody to go to hell, but I'm telling you right now, this political world's headed that way quick. I don't know very many politicians. I know a few, but I do know this. I know if they don't turn and look to God, our world and our government and our country is going down the tubes. And the devil's loving it. I mean, he's enjoying it. But if we don't have a strong enough work ethic, just stand up for Jesus. Stand for what's right and stand for the Bible. And I got to get on. But that's why he chose Elisha. Secondly, he found that he's sincere in his actions. Elisha looked at Elijah and he said, "Well, Elijah, let me, I pray thee, go back and kiss my mother and my father." Elijah looked at him. He said, "Go ahead. What have I done to you?" Now, I'm paraphrasing it. I can't quote that verse, but what he was saying is, "Elisha, I'm not the one that called you." But Elisha, when he went home, that's all he went home to do. He didn't go home to make sure that he had enough money in his savings account. And he wasn't going to make sure that he had everything lined out before he started serving God. He decided when he got a call on his life, he's going back to tell his family, "Mom and Dad, I'm leaving. I don't know when I'll be back. I'm going to serve Jesus till he either takes me home or I die. And I'm leaving." And that's it. He was sincere. There's a lot of folks that want to serve God when they're in a spotlight. There's a lot of folks that want to serve God when they get a title. There's a lot of people that want to serve God when they're popular or when they're in the sword of the Lord or something like that. Now, I don't got nothing against the sword of the Lord. Well, not much against the sword of the Lord. But I'm saying this. If that's the only reason that people serve God, they're a hypocrite. He says that we're to draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Listen, if you want to get close to God, you're going to have to purify your heart and be of a single mind like Elijah was, Elisha. Thirdly, he was sacrificial in his giving. He went back home. He walked up to those oxen. He says, Dad, Mom, Dad, I'm leaving, but we've got to do something first. What are we going to do, son? I'm going to kill two of them ox. Can you imagine the look on his daddy's face? You're going to kill the ox that we make a living with? And I don't know if this happened or not. It's just my imagination shooting junket on the way out the door. But I do know this. Elisha said, I'm killing those ox, and I'm taking some of them tools I use in those harnesses and things, and I'm going to burn them as a sacrifice to God. I don't find anywhere where anybody argued with him. You know why? Because Elisha said, I'm going to give all I've got to God. If it costs me all my living, I'm going to give it to him. Yeah. Listen, again, people want to serve God as long as it's easy for them. There in 2 Samuel, David went to buy a threshing floor. And that man said to him, his name escapes me. And he said to him, he said, I'll just give it to you. And David says, I'll not give God anything that costs me nothing. Amen. He said, well, when I give God something, it's going to cost me something. Listen, God's pleased with sacrifice. Now, I'm not talking about just your money, your tithes and offerings. That's a commandment. A sacrificial giving is when you give more than you're supposed to. It's when you give more time and you knock on that door that you've refused to knock on to for so long and all that. And I didn't come to beat on you tonight. I want to encourage you. But here we find Elisha. He had sacrificial giving. And then the last thing, he was submissive to God's will. He said, the Bible says that he went back to minister to Elijah. He didn't go back to get the title. He didn't go back to get the fame. He didn't go back to get any of those things. You know what he went? He went to serve the man of God. Amen. Listen, he didn't know anything about Elijah. None of us know very much about him. But Elisha, when he got the call, he said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to minister to that preacher right there. And I'm going to do all I can to make his job easier. Listen, it'd do you good to fall under your pastor, lift his arms up in prayer, give him a little extra along the way. He didn't tell me to say none of this. I hadn't talked to him but about 10 minutes on the phone the other day. Now I'm telling you right now, God's pleased with folks that'll get behind the man of God and lift him up in prayer, help them along the way, make his job easy. Amen. Then that preacher's hair won't turn as gray as winds. Amen. Well, look here. Read with me in 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll get to the message. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry here, I pray thee. Pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Notice they're afar off. And then they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and ask thy seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, Elisha, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? As Elijah goes out to find this young man that God had told him to go see, as he went down there and he found this little old plowboy out in the field working and laboring hard, he threw his mantle across his shoulders and he said to Elisha, Elisha, you're going to, basically these words, you're going to come with us. Then we find that all he said is he went back, Elisha went back and followed Elijah to minister unto him. And then in this chapter, number 2, is where we find him, the story picks up again. And they start down a trail. And he says to him, Elisha, I'm going to Bethel. And Elisha said unto Elijah, I will not leave thee. As thy soul liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Everybody standing around telling him it ain't worth the trip. That preacher of yours is going to leave today anyway. He's going to be off the scene. And all these. Now, get this. This ain't the world. This ain't the Muslims and the God haters. These are young preachers. I mean, these boys are in a seminary. And then while they're there in the seminary, in the Bible college, what I don't know where which one it was, but I'm glad I didn't go there. But here they was when they was there at Bethel. They said, you know, he's going to leave you. Don't you know that? And Elisha said unto him, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now listen, if in our speech it'd be like, shut up. Don't be an idiot. That's in the NRV. You've heard the NIV, right? The NRV is the new redneck version. Praise God. I'm just playing. Listen, I'm King James only. I'm just as sincere about that as your pastor and your other pastors are. I don't believe in that goofy stuff. But I'm telling you right now, if Elisha had been an old hick from the police state like me, he just said, you just shut your mouth. I know he's going, but you know what? I'm going with him. I'm going to follow him to the end. You understand there's 3 places that they stop. First of all, they stop at Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. You know what that is? That's a place of communion. And I believe with all my soul when Elijah stopped at that little place of learning and all those sons of prophets started talking, all the talk that they were talking, Elisha said unto him, he says, listen, I'm going with him. It don't matter what. I believe Elijah set Elisha down and said, Elisha, I want to teach you something. While we're here at the house of God, and you need to understand this is a place of communion. This is a place where we can meet with God. This is a place where we can leave the world behind and we can just meet with God. Elisha, when I'm gone, you come back to this place and you commune with God. Amen. And Elisha says, I'm not leaving. Elijah says, well, I've got to go to Jericho. And he says, well, I'm going with you. They go down to Jericho. Here comes the sons of prophets, those idiots from down in Jericho. Says, Elisha, don't you know your master's leaving today? Yea, I know it. Hold you your peace. And I believe Elijah walked over and he said, Elisha, do you know what Jericho means? Jericho means a fragrant place. It smells good here. And I don't believe it's because of flowers. You know where the first place in the Bible it's mentioned that God smelled something? It's in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8, Noah had just came off the ark. The world had, the waters had receded and things, flowers blooming and all the doves have found a place to land. And he comes out of that ark and he says to his sons, bring me the clean animals. And the Bible says in the last few verses of Genesis chapter 8 that he built an altar. Noah's out there and he built an altar and he said, son, come here, I'm going to show you how to do this because one day I'm leaving, you're going to need to know how to do this. So he built this altar and he put the clean beasts on there and he offered up a burnt sacrifice. And the Bible says the Lord God smelled it and it was a sweet savor.
You know what he said? He said, boy, that smells good. I don't smell burning wood. I smell a faithful servant. I don't smell burning flesh. I find somebody seeking the will of God. You know what? The place Jericho symbolizes, and Bethel is a place of communion, but in Jericho is a place of sacrifice. And then all of a sudden Elijah says, Elisha, I got to go. I got to go down to Jordan. Elisha says, I'm going with you. Elisha walks down with him. They go to Jordan. The Jordan literally means flowing down. They get to Jordan. I believe Jordan. He sits there and they tell him, says, listen, I've got to go. And Elisha says, I'm going with you. They get to the River Jordan. He says, hey, Elijah, what do you need me to know here? And he says, I'm glad you asked, son. Sit down. He sat down by the river. He said, son, Jordan means flowing down. You see how that river flows? Yeah, Elijah, I see that. He said, this is the place of blessing. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, I believe in those three places as a roadmap or a guide to directions to the Christian life. But if you're ever going to live a victorious Christian life, the first place you're going to have to find is a place of communion. Amen. You're going to have to find a place where you can meet with God. And right here's a good one. And your home church is a good one. But it can be in your basement. It can be in your prayer closet, be in your spot of wool where you lay out your fleece and pray, whatever it is, but you have to find a place of communion. But then there has to be a place of sacrifice. You got to give something. You know what God wants? You. That's all. You know, God don't need your money. God don't really need your time. He don't need your voice. And that sister that sung, then these ladies that sung up here, he sure likes it. He don't have to have you sing, but I'm telling you one thing right now. Heaven was pleased. I mean, I believe God Almighty sat on a throne tonight and looked down and said, they're singing about my son. Hey, listen, I believe heaven's pleased when we lift up praises to God. Now, that ain't just me believing it. The Bible says it, so I know it. You got to sacrifice, give something. But then you come to the place of blessing. They're sitting there by the river. And he says, well, Elisha, it's time to go. He pulled his mantle off, smote the waters. They walked across on dry land. And those sons of prophets that were so interested in Elijah stayed on the other side, followed afar off. I don't know for certain. I'd have meant to study this out and didn't get to it, just to be honest with you. But I know of two people in the Bible that is described as following afar off other than these prophets. One was a woman possessed by demons. And the other one was a backslidden preacher. Old Peter followed afar off. I don't want to be afar off. Listen, I want to be right on the other side of the river with Elijah. I'm going to follow these old men of God that stayed true to the Word and preached the Word and stayed close and filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to follow them. You know why? Because I know that's where the blessings come from. I'm a little stingy about that. I don't think it's stingy because there's plenty for y'all too. Brother Green, you can get all you want, praise God. Just follow me. I'll follow you, and then if I get turned around, you follow me, praise the Lord. Listen, I'm telling you, when Elisha came, he came to the river. They come over, and Elijah says, Elisha, what is it you want from me? He says, well, I'd like to have a double portion. If you go to Burger King and order a Whopper, there's something wrong with you. They got double Whoppers. Amen. I go and I say, what's cheapest? What can I get the most of for the least money? Whatever it is, give me two of them. it looks like, I ain't gonna lie to you. You can tell. My point is this, I want the bargain. My wife, I'll embarrass her for a minute. She's a coupon clipper. And I appreciate her. I do. I mean, she does all she can do to provide for our family this way. Listen, I'll say this, praise God. She went to the store the other day and came back with a receipt. It was $178, and she paid $32. I said, glory to God, get some more. Oh, Elisha, and Elijah walked across through there, and Elijah looked at him. He looked at him and says, preacher, what is it that you want from me? I'm about to leave. I want a double portion, Elijah. And Elijah looked at Elisha. He said, well, son, you've asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I'm taken away, it'll be done unto you as you want. Whatever you want, God's going to give it to you because you've been faithful. Yeah. Sister stood up here and sung. She said, I'm not worthy. You know what? You might not be worthy, but God's counted you faithful. God's counted your husband faithful, placing him in the ministry. And you're just as much of that ministry as he is. You'll never stand behind a pulpit and preach, but if you don't stand behind him, he never will. There you go. That's free. Praise God. Listen, Elijah looked at him and he says, Elisha, if you'll stay close to me. And when I read that and I understand how it happened, the whirlwind came down, the chariots of fire and all that, and it says it divided them asunder. You know what asunder means? It means cut in two. So they were so close, they were shoulder to shoulder. Elisha was as close to Elijah as any man should ever be to another man. And they were so shoulder to shoulder on there, and I believe maybe even Elijah said, Elisha, you don't have to be that close. And Elijah said, I ain't missing this. I am not missing this. Listen, I aggravated my pastor to death right after God saved me. I fought him everywhere. I mean, I'd fought, and I don't think I didn't aggravate him to death, but I aggravated him a lot. Wherever he was at, I wanted to be with him. It didn't matter. I wanted to be right there. And I thought I knew what it was to pastor until I tried to do it. Yeah, God sent me to pastor a little church, and I thought, Lord, I didn't know this. I didn't know what a burden it was. It's a blessing. I believe the highest calling on earth. I do. But I walked close to my pastor, but I wasn't that close. Oh, Elisha was shoulder to shoulder. About the time that whirlwind had come through and departed, he said, my father, and the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. He looks up and Elijah's gone. And the Bible says this. Oh, Elisha looked up and he said, well, this ain't going to do it anymore. See, he tore his own clothes. Amen. And then he picked up a mantle that belonged to his preacher. He picked up a mantle that had belonged to a man of God that had been around and seen what God could do. And he says, this will work. And he walks back to Jordan. And he smote the waters and he cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Listen, I've heard some preachers say that he was trying to make sure that he got his blessing. And I won't argue with you about it, but I don't believe that's it. I believe he stood by that river and he looked over at them backslidden preachers and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And about that time, them boys went, looking at him. And he went, and the waters parted. And old Elisha says, yep, that works. He come across through there, and he got over there where all those little backslidden preachers were afraid, they were falling afar off. And they said, as Elisha came across through there, he said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And I believe Elisha went, yeah, boy, you better believe it. I don't think he was arrogant about it, but I know he knew what he possessed. Amen. About that time, they walked around, and they said, well, listen, Elisha, we've got 50 strong men here. Let us send them, we pray thee, that we might find your master. Peradventure, God's placed him on some mountain or in some valley. And Elisha looked at him and he says, send not. Don't send them. And it says they kept on aggravating Elisha until he was embarrassed and ashamed. Ashamed, the word is. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know preachers and I love them, and some of the things they do I'm ashamed of. I know a lot that call themselves preachers I'm ashamed of. But he looked at them and he said, boys, gosh. And then that redneck version again, he would have said, well, go on, stupid. But he said, send. And them 50 men took off running to look for Elijah. But you know where Elisha stayed? Says he tarried at Jericho. Right at Jericho, that place of sacrifice, just before the place of blessings there at the river. And he says, well, boys, go on. If you got to try, go ahead. Listen, there's a lot of the world looking for things. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe, and I want to preach for just a few minutes now on this thought. I think I'll just take my coat off and stay a while. That's what Elisha said.
Amen.
He said, boys, you can go look for whatever you want to look for, but I'm just going to take my coat off and stay a while. You run and look up in the mountains and see if you can find Elijah. You go look in the valleys and see if you can find what you're looking for. Can I say to you, God's not on some mountain or in some valley. He's on every mountain and in every valley. And Elijah said, I'm just going to stay right here. First place Elisha decided he was going to stay, you find it in verse 13. He said, I'm going to stay where the power of God is displayed. Verse number 13, he says this, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. As he stood by that bank, you know what he remembered? He remembered how Elijah had smote that water and the waters parted by God's hand and let them walk across. He said, listen, I've seen the power of God. And I believe I'll just stay where I know the power of God is being displayed. Where I know the power of God has been before and I'm sure it's coming again. Listen, friend, I've been in churches, and I've not preached a whole lot and all that. God's kept me busy, and I appreciate every door He's opened. But I've been in some churches before as dry as last year's bird nest. Dead in a hammer. I mean, no spirit about it or nothing. And I walk in there, and I say, Jesus, help me. You say, preacher, are you disappointed in that? No, not at all. Because you know what? I've decided God's placed a mantle on my life, and I'm just going to stay a while. Listen, I'm telling you, when the power of God, the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but to those of us that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. If your pastor preaches the gospel, and I know these do, if they didn't, they wouldn't be here. Listen, but all these men of God, again, I'll say it, you need to get behind them and under them, lift up them their arms in prayer, help them go forward, and make it easy for them because they got the hardest job that you can imagine. But it's the most gratifying too. What a deal. Elisha, remember, Elisha sacrificed two yoke of oxen. And he got the double blessing of God. I'll trade two yoke of oxen for the double blessing of God. I'd sell both my cars, my house, and a couple of my kids. No, not my kids. Listen, I'm telling you, I'd give up anything but my family. And I know God had never asked me to do that for my family. But I've said this, and I'll say it again. If I've got to sell everything I own, everything I've ever owned, or everything I've ever dreamed of to serve God, I'll do it, and God knows my heart I will. I would rather have God's hand on my life as I would anything possession-wise, anything material you could have. Elisha said, well, you go do what you got to do. I'm going to stay right here where the power of God's displayed. I believe he sat there and thought about old Elijah, thought about his pastor, that preacher went before him and paved the way and beat back the briars and made that path for him. And there he went, that old path broadcast. Praise God, I like that.
Amen.
I like the old path. I don't like to walk where there's briars and stuff. I like something that's been beat back for me. You say, well, you're lazy. No. These times that I walk through the woods and cut back briars and beat down brush and stuff so my youngins can walk behind me. I don't care to make a path, but when the old path's the right one, that's where I'm going to walk. Elisha said, well, I'm just going to stay right here where the power of God has been displayed.
Amen.
Then in verse number 14, it says he walked down there to the river. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. There you see that the proving of God is demonstrated. He didn't do that, again, for himself. He was trying to show them boys on the other side of the river something. He says, now listen, and I believe he yelled, I believe he did, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I believe those boys turned around. He smote that water. And when he came through those on dry ground, through the way water on each side of him, he walked over. They said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And I believe Elisha looked right at him and said, boys, it's just like Elijah, but I got a double portion. And I believe I would have felt this way, because I feel this way when I see church members and even preachers throw their ministry away and let sin rob them of things. And I'll sit and it breaks my heart. And I'll think, you know, you could have had that. You could add the blessings I've got. Listen, I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of financial things and material things or nothing like that. But the world may not ever see it like they saw it on Elisha. But I know God has put something in my life.
Amen.
God has blessed me beyond compare. I can stand here all night and tell you how he's done it. And he's proved himself. Mike Upright sings that song, "It's Too Late to Tell Me God's Not Real." Talks about prayer and things and how God does what he said he'd do. He says, "It's too late to tell me that. I've been around for a while. I ain't been around that long, but it'd take me less than 12 years to figure it out." God has proved himself in prayer. I've watched him heal my children countless times. Our youngest girl fell down a flight of steps when she was 2 years old, Easter morning. And I believe with all my soul, and nothing outside of Jesus himself telling me would change my mind, her neck was broke when she hit that bottom step. My wife come outside. I walked across the yard to Mom and Dad's, and I come in, and I come up to the house, and she screamed. And I got to her, and when I got Chloe's at home sick tonight with a stomach virus or something. And when I got to Chloe, I picked her up, got her out of Tammy's arms, and her head just lopped over. And she was like gasping for air. Of course, we were both hysterical. I told Tammy, I said, "Run upstairs and put your clothes on. We'll run to the emergency room." I went in and took my baby girl and sat down on my couch. And I had her back in my hands and her head, and I leaned my head over to hers. And I said, "Jesus, please." That's all I could say. I didn't know what to ask for. I didn't know how to pray. I just said, "Jesus, please." And as I raised my head up, my baby girl took two real easy breaths and then looked at me and went, there wasn't a scratch on her. There wasn't a bruise. Nothing. You say, "Preacher, she wasn't hurt that bad." Well, when we get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus to go ahead and tell you how stupid you are for saying that. Listen, I'm telling you, I've seen God work. I'll tell you one better than that. Listen, I've seen, and Brother David was right there beside of me. I was preaching somewhere back that way next to Butler over at the lake one night, and Brother David had come over. I was preaching, Brother Dean Fletcher was pastoring over there then, and I was preaching for him, and after the meeting that night, and we'd had a good meeting, and after the meeting that night, there was this little girl, about 10-year-old, I guess, 10 or 11, made her granny bring her back to the church because she needed to get saved. And I looked at that little girl, and that little girl was bad under conviction. I mean, God was just all over. She got down there, David dealt with her, and we had dealt with her. And finally, we just looked at her and said, "Honey, just ask Jesus to save you. That's all you got to do." That young got down and prayed and stood up, looked me in the face, latched onto my neck, and was hopping about that far off the ground, shouting and praising God. Who taught her how to do that? Nobody in that church did because they hadn't shouted. But I'm telling you, man, I mean, the Spirit of God moved into that youngin'. I mean, I'm telling you, I've never seen salvation so evident and so fruitful so quick. I've seen God save men a half hour out of drug rehab. Yes, sir. I've seen God save drunks. I've seen God save a church member in our church that had been in church for 55 years. I've seen the miracles of God, and I believe I'll just stay a while.
Amen.
Listen, I'm glad that I've got a place that I can come, and it doesn't matter if it's Solid Rock Baptist Church, my home church, or if it's Mount Lebanon, if it's over there with Brother David's church, it doesn't matter to me. But I know that there's an assembly somewhere where God's people come together, and we can come around this old book, and we can feel what God's done in our life. Elisha says, "Boys, you go out there and look for whatever you think you got to look for. But I believe I'll just stay a while."
Amen.
He found where the power of God was displayed and where the proving of God was demonstrated. But in verse number 15, it says, "When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." Lastly, he found a place where the presence of God was discovered. Here they looked. They were far and afar off. They were looking for this great man. Everybody had heard about Elijah. Everybody knew who Elijah was. I mean, he's the prophet of fire. He called fire down out of heaven on Mount Carmel and defeated all those prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the groves. I mean, man, he was a man of God. And all of a sudden, Elisha came walking across through there, and they said, he looks like Elijah. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And in so many words, what they were saying was, that boy's got God all over him. Because Elijah did. And Elisha, I'm sure, heard that. And I'm sure there was a little pride in his heart over it. I don't believe it was sinful pride. I believe he stood there and thought, boy, I can't believe God done that. Like that sister said, I don't know how many times, and I say it because I mean it, I don't feel worthy to even be called a child of God, but I'm glad I am. I don't feel at all the least of the least, unworthy as anything's ever been, to be called to preach. But God counted me faithful, Brother Green. I don't know why. I don't. Still don't. But I'm glad he did. And old Elisha stood there and he says, boys, I don't understand it all. All I know is I followed that preacher. I did what God told me to do. And he gave me exactly what I wanted. You imagine what God would have thought if Elijah said, Elisha, what is it you ask of me? Elisha said, boy, I'd like to win the lottery. God said, you idiot. I don't know what he'd say. But he said, well, I'd like to have a couple oxen take place of them I sacrificed. I'd like to have a bigger bank account. I'd like to have a new car. And I ain't going to lie to you, I'd like to have a new car, and I'd like to have a bigger bank account. And I ain't going to win the lottery because I don't play the lottery. But if one of y'all win it, bring me some. Listen, I'm telling you, but see, the thing is, the Bible says if we delight in His laws, He'll give us the desire of our heart. See, I ain't going to lie to you. Like I said, I'd like to have a new car. I've never owned a brand new car. The last car I bought, I drove 4 times and the motor blew up. Glory to God. But we got what we need. Don't you worry about me. I got exactly what I need. It ain't the prettiest thing in the world. It makes a lot of funny rackets, but I got what I need. I'd like to have those things, but just like Elisha, if Elijah were to walk through that door tonight, if God would let Elijah come, the prophet of fire, come through the doors of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church tonight and stand before me and say, Chuck Stout, what is it you want from me? With all my soul, my hand to God, I'd say, I want a double portion. I want twice what you've got. Matter of fact, give me double what Elisha had. I'd like to, listen, Elisha died and still saved people. The dead man touched his bones and was revived. I preached that night on a little dabble do you over there. Yeah. Just a little touch. Yeah, some of you Brill Cream fans know what I'm talking about. Listen, Elisha says, boys, y'all can go wherever you want. Look for whatever you need. But you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll just stay a while. I've took off my coat. It says he rent his own clothes. You know, it reminds me of that old song, Two Coats Before Me, One Old and One New. He says, I'll tell you, my brother, the best thing that I ever did do, I took off the old coat and I put on the new. Amen. Old Elisha said, you know what? My coat's over yonder somewhere. I've took it off and I think I'll just stay a while. I'll stay where the power of God's displayed. Amen. Where the proving of God has been demonstrated. Yes, sir. And where the presence of God was discovered. Have you ever felt God just walk in the room with you and just rub your back? Yeah. Amen. I'm not trying to be fanatical, or I don't even know the word, extreme, or I don't even know the word for it, dramatic. I'm not trying to be like that. But I was in my little spot of prayer one night. I was praying for my pastor's wife, just lost her mother. And I got down there and was praying, and my heart broke for her. Meek, humble woman, loves God, and her mama just went to glory just a few minutes before that. And I got down and I was praying. I said, God, I can't help her. I can't help nobody.
God, if you don't put your hand on my life, I can't do nothing. And about that time, listen, I'm telling you, I ain't trying to be dramatic, but I felt God's hand just slide right up under my shirt and say, son, I've got you. I got you covered. He just rubbed my back real easy and said, now this is what I want you to do. You just go down there and tell Sister Rhonda that I love her. And you tell her that I'm going to be right with her through all this. Tell her my grace is sufficient, Brother David. And you know what I did? I walked down there. I walked into her mama's house. I looked at Sister Rhonda and I said, Sister Rhonda, God loves you. God said he'd be with you always. And his grace is sufficient. You know what happened? The presence of God was discovered.
Amen.
Listen, I know he's with me. But can I say this? You can be around the power of God and not have the presence of God. Absolutely. You can be around where the God has proven himself, still not have the presence of God. You can be saved and not feel the presence of God. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. If you're here tonight and you've never felt the presence, never felt the presence of God, you need to come meet him. Because if you've never felt him, that means he's never saved you. It's not about feelings. It's about blood-bought salvation. It's about conviction and conversion. That's what it is. But if you've never felt the presence of God, I'll be like Elisha and say, I think I'll just stay a while. I'm going to stay where things have been proven. I'm going to stay where his power is demonstrated and displayed. And I'm going to stay where I know his presence is. Elisha went on to do twice the miracles that Elijah ever did. He raised people from the dead. He healed waters. He did so many things. Made an axe swim. But I believe the greatest thing that Elisha ever did, ever, is when he stood there that day and when he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And all those men looked. And they looked and they said, he's with you. Elisha said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want to ask you a question tonight. Where are the Elishas of the Lord God? God's still the same, still in the same place, never changed. Where are all the Elijahs? Where are all the Elishas? There's a lot sitting right here. There's several that has picked up a mantle and went on. And there's some of you that have felt the mantle and laid it aside. But I believe, for me, I'm just going to take off my coat and stay a while. I'm going to ask you to stand your feet tonight, bow your heads and close your eyes.